Joining us here in the studio is another guy who I've known for a long time, who also I consider a Money in the Bank guest. His name is Scott Flansburgh, a.k.a. the Human Calculator.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. Paul, great to see you in person.
Nice to see you back in the studio again. And, of course, because he's the Human Calculator, I said to him, has it been 20 years that we've known each other now? And what did you say?
19 years, 7 months.
He knows exactly. He knows exactly.
What's 7 plus 3, Scott?
Always 10.
Okay. Always.
First time we met, I was working, doing a morning show in Washington, D.C., and Scott came in, and I didn't know what it was. I actually thought the Human Calculator thing was a joke, but it turns out not to be, and it's actually made him into, can I say how much you're worth?
What a country. What? Yeah, I can't wait to hear either.
This guy right here is worth over $40.
Oh, wow. What a catch.
Paul, I have several hundred dollars in 3 different banks, so I'm doing much better than that.
Yeah, but the problem was you put them in banks, and it's now worth over $40. The recession's been tough on everybody,
brutal.
Scott. Anyway, what are you doing in St. Louis?
I am here for the Homescores Association meeting, which is happening today and tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm speaking tomorrow at 3 o'clock. I'm doing a one-hour show for all the parents and kids and teachers that are going to show up. And I just try to do a show to inspire kids to have fun with math. I help parents and teachers overcome their anxiety about being involved in that equation and helping their kids do math.
Mm-hmm.
And I've discovered the secret to numbers, and so I'm trying to get everybody on the planet to know what that is. So it's a full-time job.
It is a terrific motivational thing that Scott does. He's actually turned it into various products that were sold for a while in infomercials, and he's got a new one, which we'll talk about in a second. But just the simple fact that he goes out and gets kids who have some math anxiety to get up and walk up to that whiteboard or that blackboard in the front of the room and do arithmetic in front of other kids.
Mm.
I mean, I've seen you do this, and I've seen these kids who you could see at the beginning, oh, math, I don't like math, and they shy away, and they're afraid of numbers and that sort of stuff. And at the end, you've got them excited about it.
I just did a show the other day for 300 third graders down at Disney World. And these are all 8, 9, 10-year-old kids about. And I got done doing the show, and to see these kids jumping up and down and getting out of their seats, excited about math and couldn't wait to compete, couldn't wait to get involved, couldn't wait to yell at the answer. That enthusiasm is contagious.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe if I can get a kid excited about the subject they usually fear the most, that enthusiasm will help them in everything else. And so it's a God-given ability that I have, but it's a dream come true to find a way to use it that helps other people every day. And so that's why I so love what I do.
Now, since I've known you for so long and you've been doing this for so long, you must have had kids who you met when they were in second, third, fourth grades who now, of course, are adults.
Mm-hmm.
Have they come back to you with success stories about how you changed their lives and how they were able to use math to go on and do stuff with it?
Over and over again on my website. It's now one of the busiest math websites in the world, mathletics.com, humancalculator.com. And we have 3 million kids from over 200 countries online now.
Mm-hmm.
It's just an unbelievable opportunity to have access to that many students and teachers out there and trying to get them to look at numbers a little bit differently, to deal with numbers in everyday life a little bit easier, and to just feel more comfortable with everyday math. You know, especially when you're doing investments, banking, all those everyday life things, we're all hooked on a calculator now. And I really try to show people how just to overcome that, to be able to do the basic stuff in their head. And it's very empowering, and mm-hmm. it really helps you make better decisions. So especially in these times, it helps a lot.
Now, I'll tell you one of the things that I liked about Scott when I first met him, after we got past this point where I thought it was going to be a joke when he came in, and he turned out to be very impressive, was I discovered somebody else in Scott who did math the way I remember doing it when I was a kid, which is when you were doing, like when you're adding numbers together,
mm-hmm.
two or three numbers together, they always teach you to do it from right to left.
Oh.
And you have to carry, all the carrying.
You start with the ones column, then you go to the tens column, then you go to the hundreds, and you have to carry and write that little number up at the top of the column and all that sort of stuff. But I, as a kid, always thought that was ridiculous, and so I would do it the other way around, and I would get to the answer, and I would not have to write down the carry or any of that. And my teachers would always say to me, well, you have to show your work.
Oh,
show your work. I'm doing it in my head.
I hated it. It was the same exact thing with me. I hated that, where I would come up with the answer in my head, and they go, well, you have to show your work. And I go, well, you know what? I just added it up in my head.
Yeah, I know that 8 and 7 is 15. How do I show you that?
Illustration, please.
My daughter is now in middle school, but through elementary school, when she got into 4th and 5th grade, I had the hardest time helping her with math because of the way they got to the answer. And I said, oh, it's like this. I'll help you with this. And she goes, no, we can't do it that way.
Yeah, my daughter said the same thing, and now she's in high school, and she continues to say the same thing. Dad, they won't let me do it that way.
Yeah, and it's like a totally – it's reverse of how you did. I said, well, you know what? I have no idea. You're going to have to show me how you do it. And when she showed me, I still don't understand it.
Well, a lot of the stuff that they're teaching now, and it actually goes back quite a ways, is that there had to be a sense of accountability on the page. And so all the math curriculum that you see here in America especially was designed to make sure that kids had to use as much paper and pencil as possible so that they had to show their work so the teachers could check it and see what they were doing instead of just copying answers off of their next door neighbor.
Or doing it with a calculator. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So there's too many ways to get around it. So that's why they started to do that. And my whole thing is I teach everybody how to do all math without pencil and paper, how to do everything in your head, starting as simple and as high as you want to go. But what it's amazing to watch, because even the other day when I did a teacher workshop, I'll say, okay, let me show you how to add up these column numbers like you just referenced. And you can see them reaching for their pens and pencils, reaching for their calculators like it's their crutch.
Yeah.
And they know they need it because they can't get through it. And when I get them through the first example and they get the answer to a 2- or 3-digit problem, the first time they try it, I'm like, try another one. They'll do it. Next thing you know, they're like, oh, my gosh, this is so easy. Why didn't we learn this in third grade?
Yeah.
I don't understand why it isn't common sense yet.
Because now we don't
years.
Have to teach the 11 steps in between that were getting in the way of kids learning.
Exactly. It's so painful to watch kids figure out that they hate math because they're learning it this way.
Right.
And that's what I try to do, is show them that here's one way to do it. Here's another way to do it. Here's a few different alternatives. Which way makes the most sense to your brain?
Mm-hmm.
Now pick that, master it, knock it out of the park, and then go to the other ones and see if you can figure out how those work. But at least find one way that makes sense to your brain.
Yeah, and that's an important thing, because there are different ways to get to the correct answer. And whichever way you're using that's most comfortable for you, you should be encouraged to do that.
Yeah.
When they come to you and say, that's the wrong way to do it.
Well,
but it's the right answer.
Possibly be the wrong way to do it.
Well, now that you've seen it with what I do to the schools, and the biggest compliment I get is when I get an email from a teacher that says, listen, this little fourth grade kid walked in my classroom yesterday, and I put some numbers on the board, and he added them up as fast as I could write them down.
Mm-hmm.
I asked him how he did it, and he said your name, and he said, this is how you do it. And he taught my entire fourth grade class how to add up a column of numbers in their head faster than I could ever have taught them.
Mm-hmm.
That's a little 9-year-old kid in front of 30 kids,
yeah,
showing them something that the teacher's going, wow, keep on talking.
Yeah.
So to have kids, get them inspired and excited enough to go into math class and be able to not challenge their math teachers, but just say, hey, what about this? Can we try this? I mean, what's cooler than kids asking good questions and trying to figure out better ways to get the answer?
And what's good about that is if you think about it, who runs the world these days? The guys who
geeks.
Used to be called nerds and geeks.
Yes.
It turns out it's the guys who are good at math.
Mm-hmm.
Not just guys, men and women who were good at math. I mean, even look at the big story of the last week, the revolution in Iran. Well, what kept that going and getting that information out to the world was the nerds and geeks who run Twitter and Facebook and YouTube, who figured out a way for the Iranians to be able to get access to that, and these Chinese engineers. Did you hear about these guys who were part of the Falun Gong, who had gotten crushed by the oppressive regime in China when they lived there?
Mm-hmm.
And when they got out, they tweaked the internet so that their friends at home could get around the firewalls in China,
right,
so that they could have access to the free world of information. And now they're doing that again. These are the guys who used to get beaten up.
Yeah.
And made fun of. And now they're among the richest guys in the world.
And it's all just zeros and ones.
That's right.
It's all just
binary.
Even
Dan Strauss can add those up.
Yeah.
It's fascinating to think the impact it has.
One.
And you know what it comes down to is just connectivity. It's the fact that we can connect more efficiently.
Yep.
And communication and education. And now we need to take those technologies and use them to our advantage for education on a higher level instead,
yep,
of, it's cool that we can all keep up with, you know, who's having dinner where tonight and stuff on Twitter, but it's more important that we use that technology now to make a huge difference on how kids are taught around the planet, not just here in America.
Absolutely right. All right, now enough about teaching cool stuff. You want to do some tricks?
Bring it on, buddy. I miss you, Paul. I love you. You know, you're...
Hey, I want to find, what is your background, Scott, your educational background? College.
Can I tell you after I do my demo? Because
sure,
when I do it, and here's my experience, is I speak at college level stuff and high school teachers and all these different levels of teachers. And when I get done, I explain to them my educational background. If I had told them before,
they wouldn't have listened.
They never would have heard a word I said. Exactly right,
right,
Paul.
Gotcha.
So if you don't mind, nothing personal.
No,
I'm just gonna
fine.
Okay. So I'll just show you guys what I sort of do to get my, I have to get my brain warmed up. I tell kids I'm a mathlete. And so just like an athlete, you got to get stretched out. The guys playing baseball tonight are stretching out right now. They're not just jumping on the field. So I need to stretch out my brain a little bit.
Okay.
You got your calculator out there, right?
I do.
Ian, right?
Yes.
Okay, pick some three-digit numbers, and I'll say plus after each three-digit number you say. And I'm going to add them up in my head, and Paul's going to add them up on his calculator.
Okay.
All right, go ahead.
All right, 476.
Plus.
284.
Plus.
899.
I think it says 1659.
It is 1659.
That was a lucky guess, totally. All right. Let's try it. He's not warmed up yet.
Yeah. It's about stretching. It was about 1659.
You can hear it, right? Okay, yeah. So now, Ian, try multiplication. Give me like two-digit numbers, and okay. I'll multiply them in my head while he's doing it on there.
All right.
Yeah, he'll beat me, by the way.
Sometimes.
72.
Uh-huh.
Oh, tough one.
And 81.
It's a 5832. No.
Yeah, it is.
72. What
times
did you say?
81.
72.
Times 81.
Times 81.
I say it's 5832.
It is 5832.
Yeah, those calculators, they're 50-50.
Stupid iPhone.
All right, now let's try
two fat fingers
and
on
you
that
know, I hesitate.
Here's the great thing about it. When I said no, he had no doubt that he was correct. Obviously, it was operator error. There was no chance the human calculator
your
was
stupid
wrong.
iPhone.
I'm like 99.99%. Yeah. All right, so let's try division now. Ian, give me like a three-digit number and divide it by a one-digit number and use really weird numbers so we'll get decimals in the answer and stuff.
Okay, 822,
mm-hmm.
7.
Well, I know it's 110 is 70, so 117.42857142 8.
I'm sorry, this only goes to six decimal digits.
Oh, yeah, sorry. I got carried away there.
117.42857 1.
Sounded like Rain Man there for a second.
Thank you.
117.48.
Very good driver.
Yeah. You know what? That brings up the question. Are you some high-functioning autistic who has this amazing ability to do this like a Rain Man kind of character?
You know, I just got back from Japan where they film me with my head wired to 128 sensors, and they had me do my Guinness World Record. I'll show you that next. And when I got done with it, the head professor from Tokyo University leaned into the booth that I was in with all these things around me. And he leans in and he goes, after I had demonstrated my world record once and he had monitored it, he leans in and he goes, I'm sorry, I forgot to ask, which planet are you from? he's like, I've seen, there's things going off on the screen here that I've never seen lit up before. And so my brain is, they did it on Discovery Channel too, More Than Human. It was a cool show. And when what they found is that my brain just lights up like a light bulb. When you say 72 times 81, I'm using all my brain. And you know that old saying, we only use 5 or 10% of our brain. I really think numbers are the language of the universe. And if you're not tuned into that language, that's why you're only using 5 or 10% of your brain, because mm-hmm. everything around you is in that language.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like I've tuned into a dimension, if you will, that has allowed me to see numbers in a much clearer way than most people probably have ever experienced. And so that's what allows me to have this insight into showing people how to see numbers clear. So now let me show you the Guinness World Record, Paul, because I didn't have this when I first met you. But now
okay.
I'm in it for the third time.
Is this the one you did on Oprah a few years ago?
Yes.
And now you've beaten
awesome.
That?
Yeah, I just beat it in Tokyo last month. That's where I was.
I'm just going to say this right now. Pay attention, because this is going to blow you away. Blow you away.
This is.
I'm not building it up too much.
No worries. That's you know. Here's what I do: is the Guinness people had a TV show here in America called Prime Time, and they wanted me to try to set a world record. And they said, "What could you do?" And so we went through the stuff that I could do, and they came up with this contest where they found the fastest 10-keyer accountant in the world in America, and I had to race him. So the Guinness judge, chose a random 2-digit number to start, and he said 38. So I had to add out loud as fast as I could. 38 plus 38 plus 38 plus 38 for 15 seconds as fast as I could, racing a guy on a 10 key going 38 plus 38 plus 38 plus 38 plus as fast as he could. After 15 seconds, he got 28 answers and I had 36. So I actually beat the computer by 8. So thank you. So I'll just demonstrate that. Okay, so Ian, pick a really crazy, weird 2-digit number for him to punch, for Paul to punch into the calculator.
Okay. 63.
So do 63 plus 63 equals, and I'm going to start counting by 63, and Paul just hits equals each time I say the next answer, and I sort of get going faster and faster.
Yep.
126, 189, 252, 315, 378, 441, 504, 567, 630, 693, 756, 819, 8829, 45,000, 8071, 1134, 1197, 1260, 1323, 1386, 1449, 1512, 1575, 1638, 1701, 1764, 1827, 1809. I don't like that. I get going pretty quick.
Did you get up to 2142 yet?
2205 is the next one.
2205 is the next one.
And that's 35 times. That was my first record. Now, Paul, wow. Here's the funny part, and you would appreciate this, was I did this. And the Guinness guys were like, wow, that's really, I mean, literally, you're going as fast as you can talk. Like, I started slow there, but I'll go full speed for you next.
Yeah.
But 15 seconds, I'm just going as fast. My mouth actually slows me down. My brain's going so fast, and my mouth is actually slowing me down. He goes, there's only one problem. You could have just memorized all these things. So as soon as Paul says 63, I just know the first 30 or 40 of them, and I just spit them out, and you guys think I've calculated. I was like, no, that's not, I'm really just a live calculator. There's no tricks here. And he goes, how can we prove that? And it took me a minute to figure it out, but here it is. Clear the calculator, Paul.
Okay.
And now pick a totally random. When you turn on the calculator, what number appears on the screen?
Zero.
Always zero, right? Yes. So when you say count by 63, I'm starting at zero. What if I could count by 63, but starting at any number, not just zero? So go ahead and clear the calculator and pick a totally random two- or three-digit number and make that our new zero.
Okay. 251.
So that's our new zero, 251. Now, you hit plus, and now hit a two-digit number that you want me to count by, starting at 251.
Okay. 32.
So you got 283. Hit it again. You get 315.
Yep.
I've never done this pattern before. 347, 379, 411, 443, 475, 507, 539, 571, 603, 635, 667, 699. Something like that. As fast as you can. And I've never done that before. So as soon as I heard those numbers, my mind just wires it in.
Yep.
And I can do it. So it's a gift that I can't explain, but what it did was it gave me insight to figure out a way to introduce numbers to people that changes the way they think about numbers.
So here's what I would have said to the Guinness guy. Even if you're correct.
Are you going to learn every two-digit number out
Aren't you impressed that I've learned every two-digit number from 1 to 99 and every multiple of it to 35 times?
That might be even, just as remarkable as, the adding part.
But that's only 3,150 possible answers. So
yeah,
it's not that big
crazy
a deal.
Talk.
Yeah, that's crazy. Anyway, I know memory guys. They could do it. But no, what I just showed you there just shows you I'm out of the box. But what I want to share with you guys today, and Paul, this is the new thing. I discovered this 10 years after meeting you, and every time I go to schools, kids would say, this is great. This is thanks for the little shortcut on that ad, how to multiply. These are all great. He goes, but the kids are always like, how are you so fast, though? You're doing more than that, what you're sharing with us.
Okay.
I couldn't figure it out.
You know what? Let's break, and you'll come back and answer that question.
I love it. You're good, man.
I got to get some commercials in
guy.
Here. You know, I don't work here, and they'll fire me anyway. So let's do this, and we'll come back with Scott Flansburgh. You can find him online at humancalculator.com or Mathletics. Like athletics with an M at the beginning, mathletics.com. This is the Large Morning Show in the afternoon on the Big 550 KTRS. I just said to Ian, where am I? Meaning, where am I in the commercial break here? When are we coming back? He said, we're up now. And Tina says, you're on KTRS. I know I work on a lot of different radio stations now, and sometimes it actually is hard to keep track of it. Sometimes when I'm doing the show, I do have to have a piece of paper in front of me that says you're on, Seattle station or the Chicago station or Louisville or here. This is easy because I actually come here to do the show. So it's a lot of fun. I'm Paul Harris filling in for... I don't have a piece of paper. Who am I filling in for? Frank somebody.
Frank Pinion.
That's right. Franco Pinion. He's on vacation this week, and Tina and Dan and Ian are here with me, and so is Scott Flansburgh, the human calculator, who in the last segment was showing off his amazing arithmetic skills. Is there a difference between arithmetic and math?
100%. Math is just a short word that Americans have used to define what mathematics is. Math is short for mathematics. Mathematics ends in an S and it's plural and stands for all the different maths out there.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to Australia, anywhere except America, they call math maths. That's what they call it. Only in America do we call it
the singular.
Math. But anyway, yes, arithmetic is the language in which math is taught. But most of our kids aren't even understanding arithmetic, the basic language of math.
Mm-hmm.
So by the time they go to take math, algebra, and all these other science, all these other parts of maths, they don't have the foundation to really do any good.
Mm-hmm.
So it really comes down to the basics. So that's why I want to share with you guys today the secret to numbers and how to turn on the calculator in your brain to be a human calculator or a mathlete.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll be able to speak the language of numbers. And then it's just a matter of how smart you are and how good of a learner you are to go into the higher maths. But right now, 50% of the kids leave fifth grade going, well, all I know is I'm never going to take math again the minute I don't have to.
Right.
That's all they've learned is they don't want to do it. So
yep.
I'm really trying to change that. So here, I'll just throw this by you guys. Okay. So when I did the demo on the calculator, Paul, you said it started at zero. And if you look at your calculator, anybody watching, listening right now, if you look at your phone or a calculator, there's only 10 buttons on there for to use the phone, but there's no 10. It's just a zero and then 1 through 9. So there's 10 digits on a phone, and there's 10 digits that make up all the numbers in the universe. It's 0 through 9. We have 10 fingers, and we all learned how to count our fingers, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. But really, if you want to turn on your calculator, you have to start with zero. So it sounds like this. It's tough to do over the radio, but trust me. 0, 1, 2, 3, 4.
On one hand.
5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Okay.
It's really 0 through 9. And when you start with zero, it turns on the calculator in your brain because 9 becomes the highest single digit number. The secret to numbers is that every number higher than 9 has a pattern that makes it add down to 9. So think of the next number after 9. It's 10, right? And Ian, if I asked you to write down 10, you'd write a 1 and a 0, correct?
Yes.
That's 2 digits, though. It's not a 1-digit number
right.
anymore. 9 is the last one. So add up all the digits in 10. What's 1 plus 0?
1.
Now take that total away from the number. So what's 10 take away 1?
9.
That works for every number in the universe. Try 11. 11, Ian, is a 1, 1. So what's 1 plus 1?
2.
What's 11 take away 2?
9.
Try 12. 12 is a 1 and a 2. 1 plus 2 is 3.
Oh, to 12 heck
take
with
12. Away 3
try,
is 9.
Try 341.
Try 55. Everybody, think of 55. You're driving down the road right now. You see a speed limit sign. Think of 55. Mm-hmm. Add it up. 5 plus 5 is 10. 55 take away 10 is 45. That answer, 4, 5,
nine.
Adds up to 9. So everybody listening, think of your age. Add the 2 digits together. Take that total and subtract it from your age.
Mm-hmm.
And the answer you get should add up to 9.
It'll always be a multiple of 9,
that's
and all
right.
multiples of
wow.
9 will add up to 9.
That's exactly what it is.
That's like those emails that get sent around where you
yeah.
go, take your age and then subtract 1999, and you always come up with the original number.
Yeah. But Ian, here's the difference, is that that's just a trick. What I just shared with you, I believe, is the operating system that we're lacking for the human brain to turn on the calculator, because here's why. I'm going to ask you guys a question. Just say it as fast as you can. The answer. What's 4 plus 4?
8.
How about 7 plus 7?
14.
8 plus 8?
16.
All good, all right, but there's only one bummer. None of you guys were doing any math. We are all trained to use our memory for basic arithmetic. We just memorized all those facts, and then we just say the answer when we get asked, and that's it. Now turn on your calculator. If you need to know what 1 plus 1 is, picture the number 11. That number 11 was designed to teach all humans 1 plus 1. That's why you have to write 1, 1. So you think two, it's 2, right? 1 and 1 is 2. 11 take away 2 is 9. So it's a checker in your brain that 1 and 1 is 2. Now, Paul tried to make a mistake. Let's say today you're tired. You don't know which station you're on. And you think 1 plus 1 is 3.
Mm-hmm.
Well, plug it in. We're starting at 11. And you think 1 and 1 adds up to 3. Well, mm-hmm. what's 11 take away 3?
8.
It's not 9.
It's not 9.
So it tells your brain that you're wrong, that 1 and 1 ain't 3. And what it will do is actually train your brain for basic arithmetic. So now when you're driving down the road and you see a highway speed limit sign or a number on a road or at a sporting event, a number on a guy's back or whatever number you see, if you just do this little exercise, you're actually exercising this muscle in your brain that is a calculator. So not Pujols, but give me one of the guys on the cards that's very popular in their number.
Ludwig is 47.
Ludwig, mm-hmm. his job as number 47 is to teach kids 4 plus 7. So what do you think 4 plus 7 is, Ian?
11.
So if you do 47, take away 11, that will give you 36. And 3 and 6 adds up to 9, so everything's cool. What it does is it actually trains your brain to learn every basic math fact and pattern. So you don't have to memorize. You can actually feel it and learn it, experience it. It's different. So I call it Chapter Zero. And that's what we're doing at mathletics.com. And with all my new programs coming out on 999, because it's all about the number 9. So this September 9th, 2009... we're launching a huge campaign to reach every 9-year-old kid on the planet Earth.
Wow.
To teach them that every number goes down to 9 so that every kid on this planet will speak the language of numbers, understand basic arithmetic, and now we can try to teach them math. But right now, we're losing half of them before they even get there, and then we're losing half of them every grade. By the time you get to algebra, geometry, trig, calculus, it's 50% gone every year, and you get down to a couple dozen kids right now. So we need to change that. And like Obama said, we need more geeks now, more than ever, to save us. So that's what this is for. That's my campaign. So thanks for you guys giving me this much time to share that and get it out to the people, because everybody listening right now, you've got a 9-year-old kid in your life somewhere. Just find them. And teach them this little pattern about how numbers go back to 9, and you'll just see a light bulb go off over their head.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to teach an 11-year-old kid who knows that 11 minus 2 is 8.
See, that memory thing's no good. And now, Ian, so the other thing is when I get done with the show at the schools, is I do all the kids get a little card, and they get a little trial time with my website. And on the back, there's room for me to put their birth date. And what I do is all the kids line up, and I get to meet each one of them. And all I do is look at their card real quick, and I read their birthday, and I can calculate what day of the week that they were born on.
There's
and
a special formula. It's a special formula that you've memorized.
Yeah.
So anybody can get. Like Dan, what was your birthday?
August 4th, 58.
Yeah, that was a Monday, and you turned 21 on a Saturday. Good for you.
Wow. Okay.
Ian, what's your birthday?
June 7th, 77.
That was a Tuesday. You turned 21 in 1998 on a Sunday, and this year your birthday's on a Sunday. So, yeah, what I do is when I meet these kids, I write down their day of the week, and I autograph it, and then they go home, right? And then when they get home, they go online or ask mom and dad, hey, I met this human calculator guy, and he says I was born on a Tuesday, and he did it in like half a second. So I connect with them on a higher level through numbers, and that sort of hopefully will inspire them to go to our site to try to do some stuff they never thought they could do and teach them some cool things.
Very cool stuff. If you want more information about Mathletics, go to mathletics.com or go to Scott's website, which is easier to remember. It's humancalculator.com.
And tomorrow I'm doing the homeschooler thing at 3 o'clock, but anybody can come. I'm pretty sure because we're all homeschoolers in the end. Hopefully we all do some schooling at home.
If you're a parent, you got to do some teaching at home.
And I'm glad to see
kids on that path.
That's why Paul and I connected. I mean, when I met this guy 19 years ago, he just, you know, his
19
brain
years,
was,
7 months.
His brain was wired for this stuff.
I hate to correct the human calculator about a number.
Now, hey, Scott, now, can you answer my question that I asked earlier?
Which one?
About the education.
Oh,
or do you not want to?
I will. No problem.
Okay.
Paul knows his story, but I really never talk about it much. But I'm a high school dropout. I was born and raised in upstate New York, and you have to have English your senior year to graduate. And I had a personality conflict with my English teacher, and he on the last day of my senior year, I needed a 70 on my final to graduate, and he gave me a 69.
Oh.
And it was on an essay. It wasn't multiple. Oh. It was an essay. So he gave me a 69. So I never graduated, and now I'm a best-selling author, and my book's published in countries all over the world, and I get to speak at national math conventions all over the world and teach teachers how to teach kids math and visit schools and inspire parents. And if I told them that before, they wouldn't even listen. But when I tell them at the end, they're just like, wow, good for you that you made it through that, and now you're doing what you do. So hopefully that will be more to inspire kids than to think, hey, let's drop out of school.
Yeah, but if you
But have you gone back to the English teacher in your
He
high
runs
school?
The school district now. It's even better. I'm never going to graduate. I'm like the most popular kid from my – I ever graduated from my high school, and I never graduated.
Guess what school district Scott's not allowed to lecture in?
And they asked me to speak at the alumni meeting. The alumni group didn't realize I hadn't never graduated. So I was speaking at the thing. I said, you guys, that's really nice of you to invite me, even though I never graduated.
Maybe you English teachers should look up what the definition of an alumni is. It's great to see you again. Scott Flansburgh here on the Large Morning Show in the afternoon. This is the Big 550 KTRS.